And so it is St. Patrick's Day. It's the day that, you know, I get to break out my shamrock bow tie, get to eat corned beef and cabbage, but no, this was not planned for me to preach today. That would have taken much more forethought than Joe and I are typically capable of. So here we are. But I'd be remiss if I didn't say Happy St. Me Day. If you have a Bible, please turn to Psalm 71. It's going to be our main text for this morning. and as you're turning there, I think it's no secret, at least to those of us who, you know, are past our 20s, that maybe some of you 20-somethings, definitely your if you're a student here, like a high school student or a middle school student, you know, this probably doesn't apply to you as much, but just take it from us who are on that road. Getting old is hard. I'm starting to feel it, right? There's this gap between what I once was and where I should and could be. And, you know, to top all that off, we have a whole industry in our country that takes care of the elderly, right? Through nursing homes and hospice and things like that. And it's almost like when if you get to that age of retirement and you have nothing to do, you have nothing to contribute, and you start to feel useless or disposable. And what those of us who are younger than that fail to realize is that we still have a lot to learn from you. And all this old age stuff became no more apparent to me than when the elders got together last month for fellowship. For those of you that don't know, we have to plan it every other month to get together to hang out, or it simply won't happen. Everybody's just way too busy. On this particular occasion, Jeff and Deanne Willie had previous plans, so they weren't able to make it, but we all gathered over at the Warfords, sat around their huge dining room table, had a great meal. And if you've ever had the experience over at the Warfords, you know that at some point you're going to end up downstairs around the pool table playing a game. It's this sort of competition thing that, you know, Rob Warford lives for competition. And, you know, I think that he, you know, does it to show how better he is than the rest of us. But whatever. That's maybe personal opinion. So we get down there, and Rob is explaining this new game that I don't know where he learned it from, but there's a pool ball at the end of the table, you're at the far end, you have to roll it, hit the ball, try to hit it in the pocket before the next person can get the ball and stop it. You're running around the table. It was much more fun. It was much more entertaining to watch than to actually play. But Rob's like, let's play this. And everybody was, I was probably the least agreeable, but I said, let's do it anyway. I was outvoted. And so Rob, and I'm sure Rob had the best of intentions when he said this, but he said, we need to establish an order of who goes first. And he decided, let's do it oldest to youngest. And I started to look around the room. I'm like, hey, wait. Jeff and Deanne aren't here. Hey, wait. That makes me the oldest here. It was very unsettling for me, okay? I was not okay with being the oldest person in the room. And Pastor Jeff, since Redeemer has started, has been super gracious with me, trying to explain to me, like, I'm on the older half of the church population. And I'm like, no, you're wrong. And now I have reading glasses and distance glasses and, you know, gray hair, and I'm starting to think maybe he's right. What I realized that night was that the clock never stops ticking. And I don't want to end up the grumpy old man. I don't want to end up feeling useless. What God had to remind me of is that as we get older, the work that we do for his kingdom may be different, but no less valuable. So as we look at Psalm 71 this morning, here's what we're going to see. The God who called you is the God who will keep you. The God who called you is the God who will keep you. Let's read Psalm 71. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of refuge to which I may continually come. You have given the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and cruel man. For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Upon you I've leaned from before my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. I have been a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise and with glory all the day. Do not cast me off in my time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent. For my enemies speak concerning me. Those who watch for my life consult together and say, God has forsaken him. Pursue and seize him. There is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. May my accusers be put to shame and consumed. With scorn and disgrace may be covered who seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will praise your name yet more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day, for their number is past my knowledge. With the mighty deeds of the Lord I will come. I will remind them of your righteousness, yours alone. O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me. Until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those who come. Your righteousness, O God, reaches the high heavens. You have done great things, O God, who is like you. You who have made me see troubles and calamities will revive me again. From the depths of the earth, you will bring me up again. You will increase my greatness and comfort me again. I will also praise you with the harp for your faithfulness, O my God. I will sing praises to you with the lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you, my soul also, which you have redeemed. My tongue will talk of your righteousness, of your righteous help all the day long. For they have been put to shame and disappointed who sought to hurt me. Let's pray. Father, we come before you, and God, our desire is to learn what lifelong faith looks like, what deliverance looks like, and what hope looks like. God, use this time to draw us near and to change our hearts. It's in your name that we pray and for your glory. Amen. Psalm 71 is the psalm of lament. This means that the psalmist is expressing sorrow or regret. And in this passage, in this psalm specifically, the psalmist is crying out. He's crying out personally with a great sense of urgency for clarity. He doesn't understand what's going on, and he's asking God for clarification. And in the midst of this, we see that he's reminded of this fact, that long-term devotion to God is based on his sovereignty. What the psalmist here is doing is asking God to be God, to be true to his own revelation. He's asking for protection and for deliverance. Within this passage, we have four reminders that are for our encouragement. And this is how God keeps us. The God who called you is the God who will keep you. Reminder number one, God is our refuge. Look back with me at verses 1 through 4. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of refuge to which I may continually come. You have given the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. And just as a heads up, because someone mentioned it last service, we're going to skip around in the psalm a little bit. We're going to start here, but we're going to end up skipping around, so just be prepared for that. So God is our refuge. What is a refuge? It's shelter offering protection from danger. The psalmist makes it very clear what we should do with this refuge. We should continue in it. We should continue to come to it for that protection. But what do we end up doing? We end up running in the opposite direction. Because as we get older, there's this temptation to think like we've arrived. Like we have it all figured out. And therefore I don't need this protection. I don't need this refuge. God is reminding us here that we don't have everything figured out. That regardless of your level of theology, there's still more growing to do. There's still more reasons to turn to him. And we make this mistake, right? And it's a hard lesson to learn. And some have said that the hardest lessons are the best learned. And okay, great. But they can be avoided if we're running to God for refuge. What specifically is this refuge that the psalmist is talking about? The answer is God's righteousness, his covenant faithfulness. It's God doing what he said he would do. And it's in this refuge of righteousness that you and I can find rest. Real rest, true rest. So what is the psalmist seeking refuge from? The passage makes it pretty clear that the shame of sin and the wickedness of others is what he's seeking this refuge from. If we jump down to verse 7, we read this. For I have been as a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge. You and I can be a refuge of sorts to each other. We're called to do that, to encourage one another, exhort one another. And that can act like refuge for us. But it's like friends I have who go camping in the winter. Like, I don't understand why you would want to be in a tent when it's snowing, but, you know, to each their own, I guess. The tent does provide some protection, right? But I'd much rather be in the castle, where it's warm and safe. I'd much rather be in the kingdom of God's refuge. He is our ultimate refuge. The God who called you is the God who will keep you. Reminder number two, not only is he our refuge, but he is also our hope. Look at me with verses 5 and 6. For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Upon you I have learned from before my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. If we're not looking to God for refuge, and we find ourselves stuck in the trials of life, it's easy for us to lose hope. It's easy for us to lose heart and think that God has abandoned us. But make no mistake, from the moment you were saved, God has been there. And of all the circumstances that you and I can find ourselves in, this is the best possible circumstance. God is there. And the hope reminds us that God has a plan for each of us, to prosper us. Jeremiah 29:11 says this, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." We need this hope. Because we focus on circumstances when we should be focusing on when God makes all things new, when he makes everything sad untrue. We can trust God. The God who called you is the God who will keep you. Reminder number 3, I've labeled as praise and proclamation, and we'll deal with each one of those as they come up. I put these together simply because these are things that we do with our mouth. The more we grow in God, the more we should be praising him. Even when our circumstances create doubt and create questions, we can still praise God because of his goodness in the past and the hope of the future. We can expect vindication from our current circumstances that will lead to future praise. The story of God's power to overcome can't help but lead us to persevere. We praise God precisely because he acts righteously. But we often experience the opposite of this. We often let our circumstances dictate our responses. One of the biggest reasons we do this is because we have unconfessed sin in our hearts that we're not dealing with, and we're letting it frustrate us. But as we confess our sin, our shame is turned to honor because of Yahweh's saving acts, which bring comfort to us. This makes joy a spiritual issue. True joy can only be found in God through Christ, and nothing else will satisfy. And it's this truth that leads to worship and greater experiences of faith. And as we think about proclamation, look with me at verses 15 to 17. "My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day. For their number is past my knowledge. With the mighty deeds of the Lord, I will come. I will remind them of your righteousness, yours alone. O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds." The world comes at us with their facts, and we can return to them with the good news. Of God's mighty deeds, right? His mighty deeds in creation, where he created everything simply with the power of his voice. And then as sin enters the world, his mighty act of judgment for that sin. He is a holy God and can't be in the presence of sin. It's right for him to judge it. And his mighty deeds of redemption, where he sent his son to pay the penalty for our sins, that we might have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. And he didn't do these things merely for us. He did it for others as well. He did it for the sake of others. And yes, while your faith is personal, no, it is not private. So we should be sharing our faith with the same enthusiasm that we had when it was given. Remember when your faith was new and you had to share it with somebody? Anybody who would listen? You probably weren't theologically accurate with the way you were doing it when you first were converted, but you had the passion and enthusiasm to do it. You were okay with not knowing all the answers, but going to search those answers out. The gospel was freely given to you so that you can freely give it to others. So we should be evangelizing, and we should be making disciples where we're at. Whether you're at work or school, whether you're at the cigar shop or the coffee shop, whether you're in the grocery store, God is giving you opportunities to evangelize and to make disciples. Take advantage of them. And then we see verse 18. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those who come. Not only are we to proclaim it outside these walls, we're called to proclaim it inside these walls as well, to the next generation. So whether you're a community group leader or a Journey Kids teacher or in discipleship with other believers, we're called to declare what God has revealed to us. Because as a parent, my ultimate desire for my kids is that I give them everything that I understand about God and let my ceiling be their floor that they're going to build upon as they grow closer to God themselves. Why are we called to declare to the next generation? Because they need to be encouraged. And whether we like it or not, they're looking to us. They're looking to those who are further down the road to see how it's done. And if you've grown up in church at all, you've heard that if we're not telling the next generation, the church is going to become extinct. And we see what happened in the book of Judges chapter 2. When a generation came up that didn't know the works of the Lord, they did right in their own eyes. Kind of sounds like society today in a lot of respects. But here's the encouragement for us. Matthew chapter 9, starting at verse 35. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowd, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Laboring for God's kingdom takes time. It takes time to encourage and to raise up leaders from the next generation, encouraging them to use their gifts. But this is time well spent for God's kingdom. The God who called you is the God who will keep you. Reminder number 4, I've put God's presence and God's promises together in this section. And I put them together because they force us to focus on God's character. First, God's presence, verses 9 through 12. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent. For my enemies speak concerning me. Those who watch for my life consult together and say, "God has forsaken him. Pursue and seize him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste to help me." We need the reminder that God never leaves us, never forsakes us. Deuteronomy 31 is the first time that this idea comes up, and it comes out throughout the rest of the Bible. Moses is getting ready to commission Joshua to lead the people into the promised land, and here's what he says. "Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you." Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in sight of all of Israel, "Be strong and courageous. For you shall go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall put them in possession of it. It is the Lord God, It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. It's not our strength that accomplishes these things. It's God's strength. And this reminder reminds us that it's okay to be weak because we serve in the power of God. The answer to when our strength fails is God's mighty power. And for those of you that have retired or are approaching retirement and it seems like a scary thing, remember that your identity is not your vocation. Your identity is in Christ. And that is what makes you precious in His sight. And there's nothing that can take that away from you. I remember when my dad retired back in 2000. As I'm looking back now, it was probably 2 weeks of having nothing to do before my dad was volunteering more and more time with Habitat for Humanity. A worthy cause, but he knew he needed something to do. He knew his hands couldn't stay idle. What can you be doing for God? As we think about God's promises, we look at verses 19 to 21. Your righteousness, O God, reaches the heavens. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? You who have made me see many troubles and calamities will revive me again. From the depths of the earth, you will bring me up again. You will increase my greatness and comfort me again. There is no one and there is nothing that compares to God. And the tendency, I'm seeing it in myself as I get older, is to be cynical about that. I believe that God can do these things, but I'm starting to doubt if He will do these things. What I need to be reminded of, what I think we all need to be reminded of, the best is yet to be. The best is yet to come. Christ is going to return. He is going to renew everything. Everything sad, sickness, disease, death, all of that's going to be washed away. The hope that we have in God is that He will revive us again, that He will sustain us unto glory. Why can we have this hope? Why do we hold on to this truth? Romans 8:28 makes it really clear. And we know that those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who were called according to His purpose. God is a good God who likes to give good gifts. The God who called you is the God who will keep you. I started out this morning by saying that getting old is hard, but that doesn't make it bad. Especially when we approach it rightly, when we approach it with God. But all this begs the question, as we get older, how do we avoid feeling it? How do I avoid when my mind slips? How do I avoid getting slower and feeling less useful? The answer comes by shifting my focus off my circumstances and putting it back on God where it belongs, and specifically back on His righteousness. And there are 7 ways that we can do this. And I was told that I rushed through them in first service, so I'm going to give you some time to write them down for those of you who are taking notes. Number one, His righteousness is the only place that we can find refuge from the storms of life and find true rest. His righteousness is the only place where we can truly find refuge from the storms of life and find true rest. Number two, it's only through this righteousness that we can find the strength to persevere through trials. It's only through his righteousness that we can find strength to persevere through trials. My throat might hold up this service. I coughed into the mic last service. Dave Lewis was really bad at me because I coughed into his mic. Number three, this righteousness leads us to praise as we were reminded of the inheritance to come. This righteousness leads to praise as we are reminded of the inheritance to come. Number four, his righteousness provides all the strength we need when our strength fails. His righteousness provides all the strength we need when our strength fails. Number five, his righteousness is what the gospel is all about. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For our sake, he, God, made him, Christ, to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. His righteousness is what the gospel is all about. Number six, Christ's righteousness needs to be declared with both honesty and clarity. Christ's righteousness needs to be declared with honesty and clarity so that the next generation may see the value of carrying on the mission of making disciples. Christ's righteousness needs to be declared with honesty and clarity so the next generation sees the value of carrying on the mission of making disciples. And finally, number seven, this righteousness is based on promises that can be counted on and looked forward to. This righteousness is based on promises that can be counted on and looked forward to. The God who called you is the God who will keep you. Being known by God throughout a lifetime of affliction leads to both worship and witness. And I'll leave you with this. Psalm 92, starting at verse 12. The righteous flourish like a palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green. To declare that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. May this be true of all of us. Let's pray.